Welcome back to Take Care, a weekly conversation on health and wellness on WRVO Public Media. I'm Lorraine Rapp.
And I'm Linda Lowen. It's a rite of passage, moving away from your parents to strike out on your own. It's an essential break most of us make before getting married, having children, buying a house. But now, with changes in the economy and aging parents living longer, many of us will experience a unique reversal, a parent moving into an adult child's home. If this is happening in your life, are you prepared?
Medical educator David Horgan thought he was when his mother-in-law moved into his home in 2004. He was no stranger to medical issues and concerns, having produced educational materials for elders and their families over a 20-year career as a filmmaker and director. But as he explains, his lack of foresight and planning caused bumpy times that could have been avoided. He went on to investigate this topic by interviewing dozens of families in similar circumstances. The result is the book, When Your Parent Moves In, Every Adult Child's Guide to Living with an Aging Parent, which he co-authored with Shira Black. David Horgan joins us to discuss what needs to be done before your parent moves in. Welcome to Take Care, David, and thanks so much for joining us.
Well, it's an absolute pleasure to be here.
You mention in your book that you and your wife had only a very brief discussion before coming to the conclusion that your mother-in-law should move in with you and your family when she was in failing health. But as you mentioned, there were stressful times and bumps in the road. So the question is, if you had to do it over again and you were presented with the same set of circumstances, what would you do differently and what are you advising others to do before taking such an important life-changing step?
Well, I would say this is a decision that I made very quickly and almost made the decision like if someone asked about lawn furniture, what do you think about buying this and putting it in the backyard? And you say, sure, what the heck? And, you know, what I've realized now and over the years and having written this book with Shira Block is you don't want to do something like this as a snap decision. This is something you really have to think through. There's so much that's involved. And I'll tell you, I was not prepared for everything that came our way. You know, quite honestly, this contributed in a major way to the breakup of my marriage. Now, had I known something like that, I probably wouldn't have done it. And knowing what I know today, anyone who's thinking about doing this should get two copies of When Your Parent Moves In, get one for your mom or dad, make sure they read it all the way through, and you read it all the way through. Take the moving in quiz, then decide if you want to do something this big.
So often, though, these things happen quickly because there's some kind of health crisis. You think people should read this book when their parents are still in good health, knowing that they may be in a situation like this? Would that be helpful? And is that yeah, reasonable? Or are there inevitable bumps in the road that just have to be experienced as it happens?
Well, everybody is walking around with this backup plan in their head that if something ever happened to mom or dad, I'd probably just have them come move in with me. It's a reality. That's what people walk around thinking they would do if something happens. And then, of course, you know, there's a fall or mom or dad are in the hospital, and that's when they make this decision. You know, they make it at a time of crisis, and that's the worst time to do something like this. It's really something you want to plan out and get past that backup plan that you think is the easiest thing in the world, to just move mom or dad into your house if something happens.
So what you're saying is we have a mental backup plan, but you're saying that we haven't fleshed it out, that we haven't been serious about it. So we need to take this as seriously as, let's say, you're working in a corporation and there is an exit strategy for a major player. You're saying take that kind of approach.
Yeah, it's really important to have these discussions about what you think you're going to do and have them up front and make sure everybody understands what's involved in this process. There are so many things that will happen if you move a parent in, taking care of them health-wise. What if they have declining health? What if mom or dad gets a boyfriend and they want to move in too? Where are you going to put her car? Are you guys going to have dinner together every single night? Are you comfortable having a conversation like, look, we don't want to have dinner together every single night, or we don't necessarily want you to hang out with the family all the time? You know, people don't want to talk about things like that, but they're going to have to face it. If you move mom or dad in and don't have discussions and don't make a plan, let it just happen, it's like filming a movie without a script. It's going to be chaos.
I can imagine that speaking to one's spouse about these issues, let's just talk about what may happen, is one thing. What strikes me is that many families don't talk about serious issues. So you might have been brought up in a family where anything difficult is avoided. And now, towards the end of your parents' life, you suddenly want to sit down with them and have a heavy conversation. And I think not only would that be difficult and challenging, but they might resist it. I mean, how could you all of a sudden develop this new serious relationship with a person that you've known all your life that just has never wanted to go there?
That's right. What I tell people is the book When Your Parent Moves In is kind of like a sex guide. You know, you have these books that you give to your kids because you're not comfortable having those conversations. So people can use it the same way. You can say, listen, I've been thinking about what you're going to do later on. And there's this book called When Your Parent Moves In. It talks about parents living with kids again. Why don't we both read it? And that way, it has the discussion for you. It goes over all the information, the sensitive issues. Are we going to live on top of each other? Are we going to respect each other's space? Just from reading some of the stories, I think that mom or dad would get that perspective of kind of, you know, wow, I didn't really think about this. Because most people don't. They don't think weeks and months down the road. They just think, hey, this works on paper. Financially, it could be good. You might get an addition on your house. We get to see each other. You know, it's really something that's got to be well thought out. But I also want to say, I don't want this to all be negative. If you make a plan, if you have the conversations up front and define your space, define your boundaries, it can be a very pleasant and very productive addition to your life. Grandchildren can have this relationship with their grandparents that they would not have had if they didn't have that proximity.
If you're just joining us, you're listening to Take Care, a weekly conversation on health and wellness on WRVO Public Media. I'm Linda Lowen.
And I'm Lorraine Rapp.
And our guest today is medical educator, filmmaker, and director David Horgan, who has written the book When Your Parent Moves In, Every Adult Child's Guide to Living with an Aging Parent. And that's our topic on this show. David, there is obviously a lot that happens in terms of the changing family dynamic. A parent is used to being the one who's listened to, who sets the ground rules, and all of a sudden, as the adult child, the role switches. So how do you maintain family harmony and yet clearly indicate that the power has shifted, that there needs to be boundaries that are set without stepping on toes or starting everybody off on the wrong foot?
Well, you know, when Shira and I sat and really went over everything we wanted to go into this book, one of the things we thought about is, you know, expect the unexpected. You know, and this has happened to me in the past where I came home and Grandma had left the gas stove on, and the concern is that, you know, you're going to blow up the house. And how do we have this conversation without demeaning, you know, Grandma in this difficult situation? She's aging and she's having some difficulty. But one thing I say is that once the toothpaste is out of the tube, you can't put it back in again. You need to be prepared for the role reversal. You need to be prepared for the things that are going to happen so that you don't blow up, so you don't have an incident that, you know, you just can't take back. It's just so important to be able to have those conversations. And I'll tell you, in my case, I got to a point with my mother-in-law where I got past the superficial relationship, and we just became really good friends. And that made it so much easier for us to go over boundaries, to talk about personal space. I'll tell you, one day I was, you know, I'd been thinking about, geez, what happened to me and how has this changed my lifestyle? I started to think about what had happened to my mother-in-law. She gave up her home. She gave up one of the things that she loved, which is working in the yard and putting out all these decorations. And I made up my mind. I went upstairs. I made up this official deed to the backyard, and I gave it to her, and I said, you now own the backyard. Do whatever you want with it. And it was this beautiful, magical moment, and it was a way for us to click and really understand, okay, this is a two-way street. The only way that this works is if you find a way to have a real relationship with mom or dad and get rid of those old roles.
It's interesting you bring that up because you say in your book that you can't treat an elder as a house guest using your company manners. And obviously, a house guest doesn't lift a finger, doesn't do a thing. But then they also have – they have no vested interest in the surroundings because they're not really there. By creating that deed for your mother-in-law, you enabled her to have some control over what was going on. What is that process like? Are there other examples from the book that you can give in which there was a happy outcome to this sort of situation?
Well, yeah, I think that, you know, and what you'll see is after the chapters, what we tried to do is put lessons learned. So all of the stories are going to lead you to an understanding of how people got to that equilibrium. And it really happened. It can happen one of two ways. One, you can talk about things up front and lay down the boundaries, and you're never going to have the issue because you've dealt with it at a time when everybody's calm. Or you're going to have these kind of explosions, or you're going to have situations where someone feels, you know, the mom, there's a story, mom comes in and does the dishes, and the daughter-in-law is feeling like, oh, what, you think I can't clean my kitchen? And it's a total miscommunication, you know? It's really important. Yet let mom or dad participate. If you've discussed this, you know, how you're going to do all this, let them feel that they can contribute, you know? Sometimes dad might say, look, I'd like to give you guys a couple $100 a month. Don't say, no, we got it all covered. If they want to do that, they can feel like they're a useful part of the household, and that's what it's all about, balancing things, establishing boundaries, having good conversations up front.
And those conversations have to take place within the family before mom or dad moves in. I'm sure marriages are affected, as you've shared with us. And what about the kids? Kids are growing up in a house, and now they have to make space and do things differently. What advice do you have in terms of how marriages can handle this? Because within the marriage, you might have two opinions. Let her wash the dishes. No, that's my domain. I want to wash the dishes.
That's right.
So what's the advice there?
Yeah, I think that it's really important, especially we've got stories in there of the typical situation where you're disciplining your child the way that you've decided to raise your child, and maybe you put someone in time out, and then grandma comes around the corner with a cookie because she sees the toddler crying in the sitting at the couch, and that completely dismantles your plan for how you're going to discipline your child. And I hate to sound like a broken record, but it really is those conversations, those boundaries that are laid out up front where you talk about, all right, if we're going to do this, why don't we decide, you know, on a lot of different issues where we stand, you know, and in terms of, you know, this is my household and this is how I'm raising my children, you know, how do you feel about that? Can you live in an environment knowing that, you know, I'm the father and this is my wife and this is how we raise our children and we will ask you for advice when we need it, but we aren't necessarily looking for it to be offered? That's a difficult thing, but again, reading the book can cure so many of these ills. I went out and perused Amazon when I was going through the process, thinking there's got to be something to help me get through this. And the fact that I really couldn't find anything is what prompted me to call up Shira Block and say, look, let's create a guide for people who are going through what I'm going through so it doesn't have to be bumpy. You know, a lot of people will ask me, do you think you should have a parent move in? And I say, absolutely, that's a good choice, as long as you have the right guide, as long as you have the conversation up front, and make sure everybody knows what they're getting involved in. Don't take the decision lightly.
What are some of the outside resources that are available to people once an in-law moves in? You list some of them in the book, senior centers and adult day centers, and I'm sure there are financial and legal concerns, healthcare issues as well. In your research,
yeah,
what are some of the outside resources that prove to be most helpful in these situations?
The number one most important thing, if mom or dad are moving in, and you'll see in the book, we call it being the family CFO. If they're moving in, you should meet with some elder care attorneys and get all the finances together, get all the things that power of attorney, which you probably should be if they're moving in. And also don't forget, you've got to have the discussions with the extended family, your brothers and sisters. Everybody's going to be involved in this, even though mom or dad are living with you, everybody's going to want a little bit of say what's going on. But getting their finances together is the first and most important thing. Also, a lot of people say, well, geez, I'm not going to be home all the time, or what if I go on vacation? Who's going to take care of mom or dad while we're gone? You want to look into that. Certainly there are services, there are people you can pay hourly. There are great websites that offer this. It's a combination of babysitting services as well as qualified caregivers. But the one thing a lot of people miss is that there may be members of your own family who are actually out looking for employment while you're struggling trying to figure out who's going to watch mom or dad. One thing that's worked out very well is having family members come in and have them get compensated instead of paying an outside professional. That way you've got someone your parent is comfortable with, and the person who's been looking for work, I mean, it's an amazing thing. We were sitting around having this family discussion, who's going to keep an eye on mom, and at the table was a family member who was unemployed. So there's a lot of resources that you might not think about. You want to get creative with your solutions.
David Horgan is co-author of the book, When Your Parent Moves In, Every Adult Child's Guide to Living with an Aging Parent. Thank you so much for your expertise and experience, David.
Thank you very much.